Welcome to another Your Spiritual Practice podcast. I'm one of your co-hosts, Reverend Dr. Cher Holton.
And I'm the other co-host, Reverend Dr. Bill Holton. And our spiritual practice for this podcast is entitled Eliminate Religious Relics.
Now that sounds interesting. People are probably wondering, what on earth do we mean by religious relics?
Well, this spiritual practice strongly encourages you to eliminate religious relics. Religious relics, though, in our opinion, are highly dogmatic, negative religious perspectives that will severely limit your spiritual growth if you subscribe to them.
Now, we want to be clear about this, that these are perspectives that are sort of embedded in our awareness and we may not even realize it. You'll be amazed at some of the things you were taught in your spiritual practices of the past that may still be lingering there. Because I know as we researched for this particular podcast, Bill found some things and I just said, what? That's not there. And lo and behold, it is. So we want to share some examples with you and encourage you to begin to explore your own deeper beliefs that you may not even know are there.
And we could assure you that each of these particular examples we use will probably elicit from you hearing this, what? You've got to be kidding. But they're true. They're still in the Hebrew Testament, but they're also in the New Testament as well. We've got a couple examples to share with you there.
So let's talk about, let's share some examples really with our listeners here of some of the things that are included in biblical teachings. And we may have been taught them in Sunday school ourselves and not even remember, but they're still there.
Now, other faith traditions also have some statements like these, but we're not focusing on them. That will take, oh my goodness, this podcast could last several hours. So in this particular podcast, we're focusing on the Judeo-Christian concepts.
So we're talking about things like worshiping dogma, beliefs in the scripture that are inerrant, that are infallible. That's what we're taught, that there are no mistakes and that everything is true, but we're going to question that unquestioned answer.
And not only do we question it, a biblical apologist also questioned it as well, some of these entries. So we're not the only ones that have moved outside of the religious dogmatic box to examine these things for what they really are. We'll also look at closed-minded literal translation biases, which all of these are actually, filled with extreme judgmentalness and presidential exclusivity, let's just give you some examples of some of these.
Okay, so why don't we start just with the overall belief of an external anthropomorphic goody god in the sky? People challenge us when we say this is what the belief is, but if you listen to the kinds of prayers that people use, the kinds of wording they use, how they refer to God, it's like a big Superman up there that can decide whether or not to grant you your wishes.
Yeah, and just so you know, the concept of original sin wasn't in the original Bible in any of the texts, any of the Gospels, by the way. As a matter of fact, we don't have the original Gospels. They're what we've got are what we call today Xerox copies of what the original documents may have been. But at any rate, what you'll be hearing as the relics, we call them relics, are actually noted and are still in the Bible.
And we like for you to start hearing these and thinking about them so that you can begin to deal with them from a more rational perspective instead of letting emotion rule how you feel about these things. The earth being created in 6 days, that's one that is from Genesis, even though people don't realize there's a couple of different creation stories just in Genesis, and they don't even agree if you take it literally.
And another relic is a red pajama horned devil intent on welcoming us to hell.
And, you know, it wouldn't be so hard to resist the devil if he showed up as a little red-horned little creature. That would be kind of obvious.
Yeah. And as a matter of fact, one thing that I guess is good when you think about it is with the weather, like it's is with this particular podcast, as this snowstorm moving across the country, there's a city in Michigan and one in California, both named Hell. And I wonder if there haven't been cold days in hell.
And hell freezes over. It can happen. So how about this one? No one with mental or physical disabilities or defects can tithe, serve as a volunteer, or even enter a church.
Isn't that incredible?
I did not believe that. I looked at Bill and said, "You're kidding about this one. Where did you get this?" Well, believe it or not, he got it from Leviticus 21, verses 17 to 24. You can read it for yourself. I was appalled that this was a teaching that God told them to practice.
And this is certainly a religious relic that the world can do without. That's our position on that. Another relic is that husbands who are jealous of their wives can, listen carefully, make them drink poison. Isn't that incredible? It comes from Numbers chapter 5, verse 11, if you want to check it out.
I'm getting a little nervous with this podcast because somebody may take this podcast and clip it and use it to say we believe certain things. So we want to go on record that we're just sharing some of the things we have found that are written in the scriptures that support, quote, what we say we believe.
And they're still there. They have not been edited out.
Yeah. God can orchestrate the genocide of thousands of men, women, and children anytime he wants.
Isn't that an awful relic?
And that's in Deuteronomy and Numbers. So you can find that a couple of places.
Another relic is that parents should have their children stoned, and we're not talking about the drug kind of stone today, but actually rock stoned, if they don't obey them. And this comes from Deuteronomy chapter 21, verses 18 to 21.
Parents, all of us as parents may have thought about that at one time or another, but to actually say you can do it, that's unbelievable.
Incredible, isn't it?
And this one blew me away. God had 42 children mauled by bears for teasing a bald man. It's in 2 Kings 2, 22 to 25.
Well, okay. So evidently you don't want to tease older people, particularly ones who may be connected to an anthropomorphic God in the sky. He'll rain terror down on you through Mother Nature, it looks like.
And that feels like it's happening actually anyway. But, you know, the Old Testament isn't the only place we find these things. 1 Corinthians, and I didn't believe this one either. In fact, we almost didn't share this one, but it's so incredible that it's there. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 and 10 says, adulterers, alcoholics, the effeminate, homosexuals, and criminals are not capable of being saved.
Isn't that incredible?
That just makes me cringe.
Well, it does me too.
And then, of course, the one about women speaking. This one really irritates me personally.
Well, of course, according to the Hebrew Testament. No, this is New Testament.
This is 1 Corinthians 14:35.
It is shameful for women to speak in church or in public at all.
You know how I feel about that one.
well, and particularly here in the Me Too generation, it's a relic that very definitely needs to be buried once and for all.
Definitely. And we kind of laugh at these, but there are people who still use these. They pull these verses out to support antiquated beliefs that literally hurt people and literally keep our own spiritual growth cramped, so we cannot grow as long as we have those beliefs in our DNA.
Yeah, and these relics may quote-unquote make you more religious, more tribal religious for the particular religion that espouses these beliefs, but they will very definitely not only make you a good spiritual person, but in our opinion, won't make you a very good person either with these kind of beliefs.
And here's the thing, these relics, if you will, they are neurologically wired into the amygdala, and that's where we get our fight or flight, and we like to add freeze, because sometimes it just creates that I can't respond at all. So fight, flight, or freeze reactions.
And just so you know, neuroscience actually confirms the debilitating effects of religious theologies that are based on the trinity of, and here's the trinity, fear, guilt, and shame. And it's what it not only does to your neurology as it imprints grooves in your gray matter for these particular beliefs that are repeated, but it creates a lot of a emotional ballast too that you don't need.
It does, and what a creepy trinity. And yet, when you look at some of our past religious teaching, if you will, a lot of it is based on that trinity of fear, guilt, and shame. And it's so embedded that it really interferes with our spiritual growth and our evolution, our enlightenment. And that's why Bill and I are so adamant that it's important to recognize how deeply embedded these things are and start working at bringing them up where you can shine a light on it and release it from your awareness.
Yeah. Now, the amygdala is a beneficiary part of the brain because it does serve a very good purpose, of course. It can get us out of danger and even imminent danger sometimes with that fight-flight response. And so it's a very necessary ingredient. But if you live in the amygdala, that's not a good place to be. Now, the amygdala, which is an inherited and perpetuated survival mechanism, prevents many fundamental religious practitioners from experiencing more transcendent states of awareness and enlightened thought, which come from the neocortex area in the brain. And the neocortex wiring is evolutionarily available too. It's just not the area of neural real estate that fundamentalists use that are as familiar to them, because they essentially, in our opinion, live in the amygdala.
So our listeners might be asking themselves, how do we make this a, quote, spiritual practice? What are you talking about when you say spiritual practice?
And so if you're sitting in your home or if you're driving, just at this point, take a deep breath and relax, because we're going to go now into what really makes this eliminating religious relics spiritual practice work.
So part of this practice is, the number one, the recognition that you have these beliefs embedded, and then making a conscious effort to let them go and replace them. You don't just want to leave a void there. You actually want to replace them with something powerful and useful and practical that relates to where your belief system is now.
Yeah. As a spiritual practice, eliminating religious relics is a necessary condition if you want to grow spiritually.
Yeah.
Let me repeat that. As a spiritual practice, eliminating these religious relics, which are archaic, is a necessary condition if you want to grow spiritually. Hanging on to antiquated religious rules, assumptions, and high-walled dogmatic religious doctrines limits your spiritual growth and keeps you stuck in the embedded theology of your youth. So, eliminating these relics is a must.
So here's one thing you can do. You could actually grab some paper or your journal and write, number it from 1 to 10 and write the words, I used to believe. And then just see, finish that sentence 10 times and see what kind of things pop up. And you're giving yourself permission to put anything you want there, because you're saying, I used to believe. And what that will bring up for you are some of the past embedded thoughts you've had that may still be lingering and interfering with where you want to go. So on one side you're doing, I used to believe, and then you may want to, next to that, say, now I believe. And what do you want to, how do you want to claim the belief you now have about that thing?
Yeah, one of the things we encourage people to do is not so much ask, how am I? But when am I? Mm-hmm. And we say, when are we? Because are you the person now in your current consciousness? Or you still the person who was you last year, 5 years ago, 20 years ago? Which person are you? The now you or the 20 years ago you?
Wow. And sometimes we get stuck in the middle. We kind of want to, we're trying to steal second with our foot still on first, because we won't, maybe we don't leave a church that no longer serves us with their message, but we want to stay because it's where we've always gone. And so we're trying to grow spiritually, but we're still hearing all that old embedded theology.
Yeah, this spiritual practice is not only a checkup from the neck up, but it's a heart check too. And that's important, because both the head and the heart must agree, of course. And I think you'll find that if you do want to check out some of the references that we've noted in this podcast, I think you'll find that that's not really where you are or where you want to be.
And I just want to say, if you're looking to dive into this whole concept a lot deeper, exploring some of the dogmas that are existing in religions, you may want to take a peek at Bill's book, his newest book, and this is a shameless plug, I guess, but it's called Roughhousing with Religious Dogma. And he truly goes into a lot of the beliefs that have been connected with so many different faith traditions, not just Christianity. And he plays with it a little bit. He uses, because he's talking about dogma, D-O-G, dogma, he uses a lot of dog humor and rough houses with it. So I recommend you take a peek at that. It's an excellent treatment of some of the dogmas that we want to get rid of.
Yeah, so put all of these religious relics in the dogma house and leave them there.
Oh, and you can chew on that bone for a while. So we recommend this spiritual practice. It can make you think. It can emotionally affect you. So this is when you want to take in small pieces, but really taking a look at what those relics are from your past. And whenever you find yourself slipping on one of these slippery relics, just immediately remind yourself that that's not who you are now. That's not when you want to be. You want to be in the now moment and truly continue to focus on the truth of who you are as you walk the spiritual path on practical feet.
And really free feet, by the way.
Absolutely. So we just appreciate you listening. We affirm that you just having a magnificent time understanding where you believe right now and where you are moving toward, and letting it go so you could get there.
And you have a good day. It's been great to be with you.